Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve.
Yeah, I wanna throw a few quotes at ya. Some of these are from history, and some of these are from movies, okay? So like Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself," right? And Winston Churchill is famous for saying, "This is the lesson, never give in, never give in, never, 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 never." Teddy Roosevelt once said, "The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly. His place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who knew neither victory nor defeat." Maximus in Gladiator said, "What we do in life echoes in eternity." And of course, in Braveheart, William Wallace said, "Dying in your beds many years from now, would you not be willing to trade all your days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?" Yeah. Now here's the deal. Guys, do those quotes not pump you up a little bit? Right? Kind of leave you feeling ready for battle. Like you walk out of a theater after you see a movie like that, you're hoping some guy bumps into you so you can be like, "Really, you want part of this?" Right? You're just ready to fight. And I know that those kind of quotes appeal to women as well. I'm not being a male chauvinist, but I do think, perhaps not universally, but generally, that men respond to those kinds of movies and those kind of quotes maybe a little differently than women. Why is that? Why do those kind of quotes just kind of pump men up? Why do they make us want to fight? Why do our hearts start racing? It's because God has put into every man the heart of a warrior. Guys, God has put in you the heart of a warrior. You know, there's so much confusion in our society about the role of men. Are we supposed to be tough or gentle, powerful or meek? And I think it gets even more confusing for a lot of guys when they show up at church. Because often the only picture we get of Jesus is of him being totally meek and mild, this sweetheart of a guy who would not even like swat a fly off his face for fear of hurting the fly, or worse yet, hurting his feelings. Right? And as men, we get a little confused. You know, we see paintings of Jesus where he basically looks like a woman with a beard, right? And that's why today we're starting this new series called The Warrior. The Warrior. To help men understand the unique way that God has made them so they can play their unique role in his kingdom, in society, and in their homes. Now, doing a series aimed at one gender feels weird to me, a little weird. And I was unsure about it. I actually asked a friend of mine, a pastor named Craig, who has this huge church, who did a series very similar to this. And in fact, we're stealing some of his ideas, very similar. And I asked him, "Hey, how did women respond to you doing a series that was really geared to men? And were they like offended? Did they not like it?" And he said, "No, Vince, they loved it." He said, "They want their men. They want men to step up and be everything that God intends for them to be." He said, "In fact, we sell tapes of our series, and that is the biggest selling series we've ever had." And hopefully through this series, though it's targeted at men, hopefully, ladies, you'll get a lot of it as well for yourselves, and also to be able to help your husbands, your boyfriends, your friends, your sons to become the men that God intends for them to be. So guys, here's what I want you to remember from this series. God has given you the heart of a warrior. God has given you the heart of a warrior. Now, how can I say that? How do I know that? Well, because for one, we were created in God's image. And you know, in the Bible, we see that God is love. And we see that God is merciful and compassionate and full of grace. But there's another side to God as well. For instance, the Bible says in Exodus, we'll put on the screen for you along with all the Bible verses today. Exodus chapter 15, verse 3 says, "The Lord is a warrior." The Lord is his name. And guys, you have the heart of a warrior. And what about Jesus, who came in the image of God? Well, the picture we always get of Jesus is that he was meek and mild, and kids loved him. He was a sweetheart. And all that's true. There's truth in all of that. But there is another side to Jesus as well that's not as often talked about. In fact, listen to how the Bible describes what Jesus will be like when he returns. The Bible says that Jesus is coming again someday. And here's the description we get from Revelation chapter 19. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider, this is Jesus, is called Faithful and True. With justice, he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury and the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is like ultimate fighting Jesus, the picture we get here, right? And the truth is that Jesus had the heart of a warrior. And guys, you have the heart of a warrior. But when God created you, he designed you to fight. To fight for what is good and for what is right. To engage in war and run into battles and to defend and protect what is right and good and true and noble and beautiful and of God. Guys, you have the heart of a warrior. And that may sound good, maybe. And it may sound exciting, and I think it is. But there are a few really important things we need to make sure we understand about this warrior heart that God gave to us. First is this: every warrior needs a cause worth fighting for. Every warrior needs a cause worth fighting for. We see this time and time again in the Bible. God calling men to stand up and fight for what's right and what's godly. Like in the Old Testament, there's a book called Nehemiah. And it features a guy named Nehemiah. Normal guy, just a family man, nothing special, not a warrior kind of guy, just a normal guy. But there's this time where this kind of evil invading nation are coming against, kind of bullying the people of God. And Nehemiah steps up and he fights. He leads the battle for what's right. Listen to what Nehemiah says in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. He says, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes." He gives like a William Wallace speech to the men, right? He says, don't fight for yourselves. Fight for a greater cause. Fight for God and what is right. In the New Testament, there's a guy named Paul, or the Apostle Paul, and he writes to his ministry apprentice, kind of his protege, a guy named Timothy. He writes in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of the faith. He's like, don't fight little inconsequential battles. Don't like waste your life on those. Instead, fight for what's right. Fight for the faith. Every warrior needs a cause worth fighting for. Here's the problem. Most men don't. Most men don't have a cause worth fighting for. And so when they don't, what they do is they channel that warrior spirit God put in them in other ways, because they still have this warrior heart, but they don't have a cause worth fighting for, and so they channel it into wrong or lesser things. Like for some guys, it's sports. Now, there's nothing wrong with sports. I love sports. But some guys get kind of weird about sports. Like they watch games, and they're screaming, and they're throwing things. Why is that? Well, it's because God put in them a warrior spirit, but they don't have a cause that's worth fighting for, and so they're channeling that warrior spirit into this game on TV. This is why when guys talk about sports, they use the word "we." Right? They say, "Man, we kicked your butt last night. Man, I can't wait till we play you on Sunday. We're gonna cream you." It's like, "We?" Yeah, there's an expression in sports, there's no I in team, but some guys need to understand, there's no we in team if you're not actually on the team, right? Your team doesn't know that you exist. They don't care about you, right? All you do is you watch. You just watch. You're not on the team. And sports is just not a cause worth fighting for. For other guys, they may take this warrior spirit and they channel it into gambling. Because God has put into them a spirit to take risks and to deal with fear and to experience the taste of victory. But they don't have a battle worth fighting. And so they channel that and they settle for trying to experience those things through gambling. For other guys, it's women. You know, what they do is they take this warrior spirit God put in them and they misuse it in an attempt to make women their conquests. For other guys, it may be getting in fights at bars on weekends or dominating at their jobs, just kind of, you know, going at their jobs with reckless abandon and destroying the competition. Other guys get real destructive with their warrior spirit. They take the spirit God's put in them and they take what should be a godly expression for God's cause of love and what is right and beautiful, and they misuse it and they make it into an ungodly aggression, and they use it against women or against their kids. See, without a right cause, we just easily slip into battling battles that don't really matter. We invest our lives, we take the spirit and we channel it into something that's either just small or just clearly wrong and destructive. Some guys realize that they don't have a cause worth fighting for, and what it leads them to is depression. Honestly, they go their whole lives just thinking, there's got to be more than this. Like, really, my whole life is this? And they get depressed. And the reason is they haven't found the cause they're supposed to be fighting for. Other guys can't deal with those feelings of depression, so they live in denial. Their whole lives, they try to kind of distract themselves with small, inconsequential things because they don't want to deal with this feeling they have inside that there's got to be something greater than this. Guys, God created you with the heart of a warrior, but a warrior is only as worthy as his cause. And until you find something that's really worth dying for, then I don't know if you can really live. And there's something inside of us that tells us that we were created to fight for what's right. You know, that we have a divine cause worth fighting for. But if we don't find it, we're just going to spend our lives longing for something more or misdirected or just plain old destructive. I thank God all the time that I get to be on the front lines of the most important and intense battle in the world. The battle between heaven and hell, between light and darkness, between God and Satan. And I know, I realize that may sound weird. It may sound kind of cartoonish, the idea of Satan and pitchforks and horns on his head. And honestly, there's nothing that Satan would enjoy more than us thinking that he's a cartoon character and not real, right? The truth is that there is evil in this world, right? There's something that stands opposed to love. And we see that all the time. We know that. And the Bible says that there is a source of the evil in this world, and that source is Satan. And we don't get to pick and choose what parts of the Bible we believe or what parts we like. It's all true. And so I thank God that I get to be on the front lines of the most intense and important battle in the world. And some of you might say, well, yeah, because that's what you do for a living. No, it's not because that's what I do for a living. It's because of who I am. I was just as involved, just on the front lines of this battle before I became a pastor as I am today as a pastor. And God is calling you guys to the front lines as well. Guys, you have the heart of a warrior. And my hope is that through this series, God is going to show you that there is a cause worth fighting for. A cause worth you investing your lives in. And that it will become something that you love enough that you're willing to die for it. And then you'll begin to truly live. In the Old Testament, there's this warrior guy named Joab, and he's preparing his men for battle. And here's what he says in 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 12. He says, "Be strong and let us fight bravely for our people and the cities of our God." Guys, God's put that in you as well. that you have the heart of a warrior and you have a cause worth fighting for. And so that's the first thing we need to understand about this warrior spirit that God has called each of us to have and to live out. The second thing we need to understand is that every warrior is equipped by God with weapons to fight with. We're equipped by God with weapons to fight with. Now some men don't understand this. And because they don't, they'll use other weapons that God never intended for us to use. They use their words, and they use their fists. Those are not the weapons that God has given us, and not the weapons that we're to use. I love how the Bible talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. It says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." So we don't fight with the same kind of weapons that normal people fight with. We have divine, we have supernatural weapons. The Bible describes the real war in a book called Ephesians in chapter 6. So here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "For our struggle is not against," this is so important. This defines your life if you really understand this. This is, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." Okay? So your struggle is not against your spouse, your friend, your neighbor, your boss. Okay? Our struggle is not against other people, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So here's the deal. You have an enemy who hates you. Why? Because he hates God. And he hates anything that matters to the heart of God. And nothing matters more to the heart of God than you do. Okay? Your enemy's name is Satan. And in the Bible, he's called the father of lies and the deceiver. And so what he will try to do in your life is to deceive you and tempt you through lying to you, right? The Bible says that his mission is to steal, kill, and destroy everything that matters to God, all right? And so what he will do is he will study you. He will study you. He knows your weaknesses, and he plans out a deliberate strategy to wreck your life, to steal from you everything that's important. So guys, think about this. Satan is an evil force who wants to destroy everything that matters to you, your faith, your marriage, your kids. Now, if there was a guy on planet Earth who was trying to do that to you, you would take him out, right? But the ironic thing is we have someone who's trying to do that to us every day, and we just ignore it, and we just kind of give in, right? And you know what we say? We say things like, well, it's just life. Life is tough. You know, circumstances are hard. Life is hard sometimes. Marriage is hard. You know, kids will be kids. No, it's a war. You're in a war, right? And it's time to fight. And we fight not with the weapons of this world, but with the weapons of God. If you continue reading through that passage in that book of the Bible called Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about needing to put on the armor of God. You put on armor because Christianity, being a Christian, this life, it's not a playground, it's a battleground. And it talks about what some of those different weapons we have, some of that armor we have that we can use to defend ourselves and to fight with. And so it says, like, one of the weapons is salvation. The idea is that we know we belong to God. And that's so important because so many of the deceptions we face in life, so many of the lies we believe have to do with our identity. But it's like, you know what? You can't get to me. Those lies, those deceptions can't get to me because I know who I am. Because I know whose I am. Another weapon it talks about defending yourself with is the shield of faith. So faith is part of our armor. And it's because our enemy knows how to take us down with accusations. And so we hear these whispers in our ear, "You're not good enough. You can't win this battle. You don't have what it takes." But it's like, no, that can't bring me down. Because even if it was true, it wouldn't matter. Because my faith is not in myself. My faith is in Jesus and what he's done for me. And so my faith protects me against those accusations. It also says another weapon we have is the truth. We have the Bible on our side. And that's powerful because, again, most of the temptations we face in life are lies and deceptions. But when you really know the truth, No, we don't buy into those lies. Another weapon that's mentioned is prayer, because the strongest man is not the one who can lift the most, it's the one with the greatest faith. And so we realize that we have this battle to fight, and victory is going to come from God. And so where I turn for victory is to Him. I pray. And so when the enemy starts to attack the things that matter most to God, that is a cause worth fighting for. And that's when we draw a line in the sand and we say, I will fight you and I will use the weapons that God has equipped me with in this battle and I will win. And every warrior needs a cause worth fighting for. Without it, you will be bored. You will spend your life bored. And you'll get involved in wrong battles that don't even matter. They don't matter at all. And you know inside that they don't matter. You know it doesn't matter. Or you'll just become destructive. Every warrior has a cause worth fighting for, something that they need to be willing to die for, and that's when you really start to live. And every warrior is equipped by God with weapons to fight with, not the weapons of this world, not our words, not our fists. But we have God's weapons to fight with. Now, another thing we need to understand about this warrior spirit and about engaging the battle, and this is tough for guys to embrace, but it's that every warrior will at times fear failure. We will occasionally fear failure. For some of us, it's way more than occasionally. For some of us, we just live with this fear of failure. And listen, if you fear failure, if you run away from the battle, or even if you run into the battle, but you run into it hesitantly, but because you fear failure, you will be a dead warrior. And too many men are running into battle with some real hesitation. How do I know that for most men, the problem is a fear of failure? Well, first, because I know a lot of guys. And second, because I read the Bible. And it's really interesting, every time God speaks to someone in the Bible, every time He calls them to some task, every time He gives them a battle to fight, the answer is always, no thanks. No one ever says, yes, God, I'll do it, let's go. They're always like, I would rather not. And so God repeatedly throughout the Bible says, don't be afraid. And in fact, the most repeated command of God in the Bible is, fear not. God's kind of saying, don't be afraid. I am with you. I will go with you. And because I am with you, you will win. One example, Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. God says, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. Guys, most of you have a battle you need to take on and you know it. And it's a battle that you must win. You must win. And in the back of the mind of every man is this question, but what if I'm not strong enough? Man, I can't afford another false start. You know, I've tried before and I failed, and so I don't know that I can win this battle. Every warrior occasionally fears failure, but there is a battle that you must fight, and you must win, and you must win it decisively. And here's what I want you to understand. The fourth thing you need to understand about this warrior spirit and engaging in battles is this. With God on your side, you will win that battle. With God on your side, you will win the battle. Why? Because you're not fighting the battle alone. Right? God promises to be with you and to go with you and to fight the battle with you. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 3 and 4, it says, He shall say, Hear, Israel, which those were the people who believed in God back then. Today you are going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not panic or be terrified by them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. Did you hear that? For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. When you fight with God on your side, when you fight the battle He's called you to, with the weapons He's equipped you with, you will win because you are not fighting alone. So guys, what is the battle that you need to fight? I think it's time to name the battle. Maybe your marriage is just kind of crumbling before you. You don't give up. You don't accept failure. Your marriage is worth fighting for. Are your kids running away from God and you say, well, you know, kids will be kids and what can you do? No, No, your kids are worth fighting for, so get down on your knees and fight like a man. Maybe financially you're like going deeper and deeper into debt and you feel like you're drowning. You don't give up, you fight. Maybe you feel kind of like you're drifting from faith and it's getting harder and harder to want to show up at church or to read your Bible and your passion for God seems to be dwindling. Man, you fight. That's a battle you're in. You don't walk away from that. Maybe you're locked in a world of sin and you feel like, well, I've tried, but it just seems like this is who I am and I can't overcome it. I've been doing this for so long. I've tried. No. No, we don't act like cowards, right? But we have courage. You don't quit. We have the heart of a warrior. It's inside of us, and so we fight. We fight. All right, so what did we learn today? Guys, you have the heart of a warrior. Every warrior needs a cause worth fighting for. Every warrior is equipped by God with weapons to fight with, and with God on your side, you will win this battle. You will win this battle. You know, I mentioned earlier how if you miss this, if you don't understand this, it will just mess up your life. Some of you have been living very messed up lives. You're bored out of your mind, or you've totally misdirected this warrior spirit. It messes up your life if you miss this. And I saw a great example of this some years ago. My family was at a water park. And standing next to me was this guy, a dad, and he was screaming at his son. It was scary. Like he had veins popping out of his neck, just thunderbolt words just raging out of his mouth. It was scary. And I thought, man, this is a guy who has all this passion. He has the heart of a warrior, but he obviously doesn't know God. And he doesn't know where to channel this aggressive spirit that God's given him to fight for what's right and noble and beautiful. And so he's pouring this warrior spirit into yelling at his son. And he's yelling at his son. He's like, hey, you listen to me. Don't you walk away from me. You look at me when I'm talking to you. It was awful. But here's the thing. We were at a water park. We were standing in like a lazy river kind of thing, actually just outside of it, and he had Crocs on, you know, the plastic kind of rubber shoes. And his son was walking away from him as he was yelling at him, and he was following his son, and his shoes were squeaking as he spoke. And so what he actually sounded like was this. He said, hey, you listen to me. Don't you walk away from me when I'm talking to you. You look at me when I'm talking to you. It was hysterical. Like, I almost peed my pants, which probably would have been okay because it was a bathing suit, but I don't know. And I learned a lesson. It was a really important lesson that day about public speaking. I learned that it doesn't matter what you say, how powerfully you say it. If you say it while you're wearing a pair of wet Crocs, it just ain't going to be cool. Right? Like those speeches I started out with today, can you imagine if the person giving them was wearing wet Crocs when they said them? So like FDR would have said, we have nothing to fear, but fear itself. Not cool, right? Or Churchill, this is the lesson. Never give in, never give in, never. Not good, right? Or Teddy Roosevelt, the credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena. Whose face is marred by and whose strives valiantly, his place shall never be with those souls who know neither victory nor defeat. Not cool. Maximus in Gladiator would have said, what we do in life echoes in eternity. See, it's echoing in eternity, right? Yeah. William Wallace was dying in your souls many years from now. No, actually, he was on a horse, right? So if his horse was wearing wet Crocs, he would have said, would you be willing to trade all your days from this day to that for one chance? Just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom. Not cool. So guys, you can clap. Yes, that was pretty good. And I have a mic problem, so like all kinds of stuff's happening up here. So guys, I have a speech for you. There's going to be no in it. I'm going to pray for you guys, and I want you to listen to this prayer because this is true for you. Okay, this prayer is true for you whether you realize it or not, whether you're willing to accept it yet or not, it's true for you. So let's pray. Guys, you were created in the image of God. And God is love, and God is compassionate, and God is merciful, but God is also a warrior, and he has given to you the heart of a warrior. He has given you a cause worth fighting for. So don't be afraid. But remember the Lord your God, who is great and awesome, and fight for your faith. Fight for your families. Fight for what is right, for what is noble, for what is beautiful, for what is good, for what is true. Guys, you have had enough of fighting meaningless battles. It's time to put on the armor of God, to rush to the front line and spend your life as a warrior in God's kingdom of love. Guys, invest your lives in that. I pray for you in the name of the one who is coming with eyes like blazing fire, dressed in a robe dripped in blood, with a sword in his mouth, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I pray for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, happy Father's Day. Go be men of God. We'll see you next week for the second week of the Warrior. Until then, and as always, Viva La Verve. See you guys.